when he says, I know whom I have believed, we could look back in the verses, the few verses before that that were read, who is this one that he has believed? And before getting into that, just backing up a little farther, we can see that in verse 8, Timothy was ashamed, or at least he had to be encouraged not to be ashamed. Timothy was in a set of circumstances that were very difficult for him at this moment. And he had evidently become less vigorous in his service for the Lord. He had to be told to stir up the gift that was in him, back in verse 6. And so Paul is saying, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of me, his prisoner. Share in the suffering for the gospel. And then he talks about this God who he is trusting. And we might just, you know, skim through these verses. The power of God who has saved us in verse 9 and has called us with a holy calling, having nothing to do with who we were, but because he had a purpose in Christ Jesus before time began. Think, Timothy, God called you and me, God called us before time began. He had an invitation set to go with our names on it because he called us before time began. And then, we might say in verse 10, that invitation was brought to light. Jesus Christ entered into time, the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's actually very unusual that this word appearing is here. Usually we think of this word appearing as with the glory of his second coming. But this is his entrance into the world. And Paul, we might say, assigns that same bringing to light of his glory as his entrance into the world. He gives that same glory to that time where our Savior, Jesus Christ, he came into the world. He brought the truth of the calling of God. And he, in his work here, he abolished death. What victorious words. He abolished death and he made clear life and immortality. And then he says, for this reason, I suffer these things. Timothy, you're suffering these things and you might tend to be ashamed. I have suffered these things, but I'm not ashamed. Why am I not ashamed? Because I know whom I have believed. I know what God has done. I know the strength of God's salvation. I know the Savior who has brought it to light. I know him, and so I'm not going to be ashamed because I know whom I have believed, and I know that he's going to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So what is it that Paul committed to him? You might say it was his whole life. It was his whole being. Mm-hmm. He had entrusted himself on that Damascus road. He had every human advantage. He counted it loss. He gave it up because he had evaluated, not he naturally speaking, but you understand in our context, the determination was made. Christ is of more value than all these other things. Now he looks back. Was that really the right decision? I gave myself to him. Is he going to let me down? No. Look at the God whom I have trusted. The God who called me with a holy calling before time began, and he made sure that calling by the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. And he's going to keep what I've committed to him. It's I have given him myself, and he is not going to prove himself unworthy of that trust. It's going to be there. What I committed to him is going to be there. Not that we are investing and we hope to get something more ourselves, but as it says in, I think in Romans, it quotes the verse from the Old Testament, he that believes on him will not make haste or will not be ashamed. There's no cause for the believer wishing that he hadn't trusted more to Christ. In fact, we'll wish we had trusted him more than we have. We won't ever wish, you know, I wish in that circumstance, looking back over my life, I wish I had not given so much to God. I wish I had kept back some for myself. I wish I had trusted Christ less. I wish I had given myself more emphasis at that point. We'll never say that. We'll always say, I wish I had given him more. I wish I had trusted him more because he is faithful. He is, if you might say, reliable. He is not going to make us ashamed. We use the word experimental in the last study a few times. It came to my mind that it maybe is good just to mention, we usually use the word experimental now as if it's something you're trying it out. You know, you experiment with something, you try it out. That's not the meaning of the word as it's being used. It's what the old writers used to use as opposite of theoretical. It's not just theoretical. You're putting to the test what the theory is. You're living it out. It's an experience. It's really a synonym for experiential in that use. So when we say experimental, Paul was experientially proving God is trustworthy. I'm not ashamed. Look what I've given him, and he has never made me ashamed for trusting him.
I was also struck too by the fact that he uses the word I am persuaded. He says, for I know whom I've believed and am persuaded. And we get a similar idea in the end of Romans chapter 8. He was also persuaded, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But that was years ahead. That was years previously. But now, towards the end, this is the end of his life. And he's persuaded of what he's saying here.
Absolutely confident.
Yeah. Another thought that comes to my mind is, just put the context here. I mean, Timothy, if you think about it, Paul is facing death. Paul is in prison. He's going to die. Maybe there was persecution amongst Christians. And if you were really faithful in the gospel, the danger is that you will be put in prison and you face death too. So if we were in that situation, if the government said today that anybody who preaches Jesus Christ from this little hall, if we go out and preach Jesus Christ, that there is a real danger that we are going to be rounded up and that we will face execution, how many of us, we would be, we would need some encouragement too. We would need to be persuaded, we would need to be confident that the Lord is going to raise us up. We would need to have that assurance in our souls. If not, we're going to shy away from saying anything about Christ.